The following is brought to you courtesy of the No Phony Podcast Network, home of independent awesomeness.
Do you think I like pursuing my dreams? When I drive, it's my time to be weird.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Road with Jim and Casey. With me, as always, James Morganti.
That's right.
Joining us today, actor and producer Patrick Carney. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. How you guys doing?
Good. Where are you calling in from today? It looks beautiful there where you are.
Yeah, I'm calling in from Michigan. So nice. Got a nice backdrop here.
Is it warming up there at all?
Yeah, it's about 61 today. Next week, it's looking like it's going to get close to 80. It's supposed to be like 79 Wednesday and Thursday, I think. So
nice.
But it's supposed to rain all weekend.
How are you holding up during this coronavirus?
Man, I'm getting stir crazy. But overall, I'm doing all right. I've been writing a lot, so I've been trying to work on a comedy series right now. And then right now we're in the middle of building our pitch package that we can present to investors for a film that I'm acting and producing on called Locker 42. So I'm definitely busy, but just not as physically busy. So
sure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where'd you grow up? How'd you get into acting? All that good stuff.
Yeah. So I grew up in Michigan. I started acting. I started doing my school's musicals when I was in eighth grade. Yeah, and I've been acting ever since. I did musicals for about 6 years, and then I started diving into film once I got into college. So I'm going on 12 years now that I've been acting. But yeah, so I've just been trying to do whatever I can to build my career and push forward, and you know, just get whatever I do out there.
How long have you, so you've been doing this since high school?
Yeah, I have. Awesome. Yeah, I started doing musical theater, and, you know, I liked the live stage stuff, but before every show, I'd always get this awful, like, pit in my stomach, and I'd be on the verge of throwing up just because, you know, I would kind of get in my head, and I'd always have to, you know, take a minute to just try to clear some things out. And, I mean, once I got on stage, I was fine, but I guess the biggest difference for me with film is with film, I'm a lot more comfortable, and I enjoy the technical side of it. Yeah. So I've just been riding that wave for a while.
So like movies aren't as, nerve wracking, mm-hmm. right? Because you're in front of the crew, you know, but a couple bros, camera dudes, you know, the person you're trying to talk to, I guess it wouldn't be as like you gotta go throw up in the toilet, which some people take big dumps. I'm told the drummer that I used to tour with or play with, he would sit in the bathroom for probably about a good 20 minutes, and we would actually do it together. It's actually something we like did together then at one point, but I mean not together, but like together in the same room.
Yeah.
In separate stalls, we weren't taking dumps together on that. But
sure.
So like you don't need that then in when you're in movies, right? So it's mainly like, okay, I gotta nail this. It's more about the part and the emotion instead of just knowing your lines and being theatrical.
Yeah, I think because with film, you get many takes. You know, you get chances to do it over, I guess. You know, so if I have a bad take at the end of it, I can always say, you know, hey, can I do that again? I think I messed this up or whatever. Whereas stage, you know, you spend all this time preparing, and then you get on stage and you have one shot to do it, you know. And so if you screw up, and inevitably every single show there's always something that goes wrong, and so the goal is just to make it seem like, you know, it never happened. But yeah, so yeah, I guess you're right. I think that's the biggest difference for me, at least, is I get the comfort and the sense of knowing that I can do it over, you know, and that the editors will choose the best take for the story, if that makes sense.
Right. And when you're like, I was thinking about with the whole lockdown and everything, it must be because you probably go on auditions all the time. You're probably, you know, constantly hitting up people. I had a friend that was, when I was living in Austin, I basically learned some stuff about it. Do you find being now in lockdown is so easy to go and audition because all you have to do is put a phone there and then you're like, all right, Sheila. Yeah, I mean, you know, and you start just throwing it out. Well, who forgot whose birthday present? And then you're just like, because you can do it now on a camera instead of, well, okay, well, I got to drive here, spend $100 or whatever. And guess, and it can, and it's all a it's not a loss every time, but at the moment
it can be. It can
be. Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, yeah, it definitely adds up, but I think. You know, with this, it's been great because I've gotten a lot more tape audition requests because that's, you know, after speaking with my agent, you know, my agent's out in LA. And so it's tough to just kind of jump on a flight and go, right. You know, if I have an audition tomorrow. So, yeah, I think the auditions have been great in that sense. And he's even told me that the industry now, it seems as though everybody's going to be kind of gearing toward more toward that. As like the new norm is tape auditions will pretty much take over the first round of auditions mm-hmm. now, you know, and from that point on, then if they want to meet you, you know, maybe fly out or they'll fly you out, you know, if they like you and so on. So it's definitely helped people who aren't necessarily in those big markets living there. Yeah, I think it's definitely helped us out a lot.
I mean, it's like going on a job interview from home, you know what I mean? Like yeah. Who wouldn't want, like, there's so many benefits to, I mean, whatever's happening, you know, whatever you think's going on with this whole thing and whether they're enslaving us, forcing us to live in our homes or whatever the thing is, there's always something good that you can pull out of it. You know what I mean? And so for, I think of it this way, like, hey, I don't have to drive anywhere now and waste money, time, hotels, and you can just do it all. It's just making the best of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's, you know, there's always a silver lining in everything. So
for sure.
Yet you continue to drive around in your car, Jimbo.
Okay, hey, and you know that I like getting hepped up on coffee. Okay. When I drive, it's my time to be weird. You know what I mean? Do you have a time, Patrick, where you just get weird in your head and you're just like, you know what? My weird thing, I don't know what yours is. It could be like, you know, sitting in an office chair or I don't know. Mine is, I just love knee driving with coffee. sometimes safe. I'll Snapchat while doing it. But like, it's just like the zone that I'm in. And I just get, it's like my mind is clear and I come back and I'm like, wow, I feel so good. It's just like a Zen meditation thing. The best meditation done, you can talk to a lot of people agree on it, but don't like to say it, is when you're driving on an open road and your just mind is totally off and you're just like, and you're in this meditative state.
Yeah. No, hey, I agree with that. I don't know about the knee driving and Snapchatting at the same time. Right. I'm not that skilled, so props to you. Okay. But
he's not either, believe me. I'm scared to death.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I can imagine. I do like driving and just like, and it may annoy other drivers around me, but I love blaring music when I'm driving. Like if I'm driving, my music's got to be up. And it's funny because whenever I'm in the car with my fiance, you just as a natural thing, I'll you know, turn up the music and she'll be yelling saying, you know, what are you doing? Like turn it down just cause that's what I like to do. I'm right there with you. I like to clear my head at that time. And I do a lot of my praying at that time. And I do a lot of talking to myself. Thankfully I don't answer back, but, but yeah, man, that's a great time.
Dude, that's exactly what I like. My worship is done in my car. Like that's,
yeah.
And I love worship music. It's praying, meditating combined. And yeah, it's man. All just this, but, so what's right now, what, if I hijacked your car and your phone and took off to the nearest like coffee store, what would I hear when I push play on your, on your Spotify?
I've got a lot of really random stuff on my playlist. You'd be hearing some Matt Carney. I don't know if you know who Matt Carney is.
I do.
Yeah. You've definitely heard his songs. He's one of those guys where you've heard a couple of his songs. You just might not know it's him.
Right.
So you'd hear some Matt Carney. You'd hear some Boston.
Boston.
Oh yeah,
Amanda's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, so you'd hear some Boston, you'd hear some John Bellion, you'd hear some Matthew West, you'd hear some Logic.
John Bellion is an awesome producer, writer, all that stuff. I like his, that money, what's that song called? It's getting about money. He wakes up in England, London or something. Oh, man, I feel stupid. I forgot the name of the song.
Oh, that's on one of his older albums.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Money with like M-U-N-Y or something like that.
Yes, money. Yes, and I actually got to see him live this last summer, and man, he puts on a crazy show, crazy show. That is somebody I would definitely suggest if you have a chance, go see him live. If we ever get to do that again, yeah. You know.
So, I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
No. Geez. They just pushed it back to August. In California, like, all we're doing is like, hey, guys, you're going to be good. I really don't think that gyms are even going to open. Like,
I actually read something. Somebody had posted something about that, and they said that they were like, here, let's clarify this before everybody freaks out. Again, I don't know how much of this is true just because I didn't read into it. But I read that it was it wasn't a stay-at-home order for another 3 months. It was the restrictions that you have to follow when you go out places will extend until that time.
Okay.
But it gets placed as a stay-at-home thing to, one person says another, or they see another 3 months, they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to be in prison for life, that kind of thing. So, man, I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. It's, somebody could tell me that aliens just dropped down and are taking over the government, and I would just be like, yeah, maybe. I mean, based on everything going on, I don't know.
Of course, I'm like, oh yeah, which ones? That's not, my first thing is, all right, well, it's probably the Pleiadians galaxy ones, because they always wanted that.
Exactly.
I mean, it's because I saw a post of this one gym. And what I thought was, I was like, well, this is good because it's 25% capacity. So first of all, as a gym goer, I'm like, that's awesome. Like, no one's going to be on the equipment. It's going to be wide open. And then it was like, okay, 25% capacity. And like the next thing was, you can't take your shirt off. I'm like, oh, of course. Always holding back the throws. I got you. Can't even take my own shirt off.
Sheesh.
That's that was so funny. That had to be on the rule book.
Do you know who comedian Chelsea Peretti is?
Yes.
Yesterday she tweeted something. It was a video, an overhead shot outside of a gym with all the protesters doing push-ups and stuff and working out outside the gym, like protesting to open the gym. And she's like, proof that push-ups can be done outside, out of the gym.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know that when all the meatheads that were sitting at home that read that were just like, dude, come on. Like,
yeah.
I can't work out unless I rip my shirt off, bro. Well, my gym's still closed. It's still not even open. And my the guy who owns it, he's been dying, man. He's been like, dude, I don't, we need to open. And I'll tell you what, these at home workouts, the motivation level has been real low.
Bro, dude, I can hook you up with my friend. I've been doing his workout. This is my third week. So Cole Taylor, his name's Cole Taylor. I'll hook you up with him. He's got an awesome, he has a quarantine shred, 30-day quarantine shred.
For sure, dude. I'll
send you over some stuff. And it's all like self-resistance towel workouts. So like you hold a towel with the other hand.
Nice.
It's almost like, I don't know how much down the bro hole that you go, but I mean, I've been on the road for a long time, and sometimes, if there's no gym around, I would have like Planet Fitness memberships, but now I have Gold's, because Gold's, they you can use it anywhere now. Yeah. I don't like Planet Fitness's the gyms, but you can use them wherever you go. It's the only reason. But like, I would be in a car and I'm like, man, I gotta get a pump. Like, what am I gonna do? I can't like play with being pumpless. And I would be like this, pushing my own, like, it's an old bro trick. Just self resistance to get that bicep. It's basically doing the same thing except with a towel. And surprisingly, like, I'm getting a great workout.
Well, I actually got these. I got these resistance bands, you know, with the one with the handles, and I've got like four or five different ones that are all weighted right. differently. And I was like, oh man, I'm gonna be killing it all day, every day once I get these. Oh boy, I've used them like maybe four or five times. And my gym, cause I go to an Anytime Fitness, and so my gym, they've been doing these virtual workouts every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for people. And it's been sweet, you know, it's been cool, but in my head, there's that part of me in my head that I'm just like, it would be so easy to just close my laptop right now, you know, like, you know, I don't know. There's just something about it for me of going into the gym, seeing other people there, you know, it motivates me to keep pushing also. And, you know, see the familiar faces and yeah. And it was funny because in the workout yesterday, she had accidentally made the Zoom meeting public. And it just got bombarded by, there was like this super loud Indian music playing. And there was like this guy screaming at a video game. There was this dude that was like in a weird green screen flipping the camera off. And then it just turned into like a bunch of these fat, hairy, naked dudes.
What?
And then, yeah, it got real wild real quick. So
how does that happen?
I have no idea.
I always wondered how that happens.
Yeah, man, I have no idea. But they figured out a way and they did it. So. But yeah, man, definitely show me, or hook me up with your boys' stuff. You know, I'd like to
take for sure.
So Patrick, back to your career. Did you always want to be an actor?
I did. You know, I tossed around wanting to be a detective at one point. And I think it was after I saw iRobot that I was like, oh man, Will Smith was so cool as a detective. I want to be a detective. When really it ended up more so just being the fact that I wanted to maybe play one. And, you know, I've just always been drawn toward entertaining people and I've always been kind of a storyteller. And so that, yeah, that's always been my thing. I've always come back to wanting to act and that's what I decided to do.
So why start now? Like, what do you do for your money making?
For my survival like, job, yeah.
Yeah, what do you live on? And then why start now and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't start now. He's been acting for...
Well, yeah, but I mean, in the acting world. Like, yeah. I guess you have been acting for a while, but...
But I get what you're saying, though. My survival job is I'm the hiring manager at a movie theater. So as you well know, things are going great with that right now. But yeah, no, I... To me, that was another way to be around movies until I could be in them, if that makes sense. But I think I really started taking it seriously because I didn't want to be one of those people. And who knows? It could still happen the way the cards fold. You know, it could still end up this way. But I didn't want to be somebody that breaks out and makes it big when they're 50 or, you know, 45. You know, I want to be able to have a long career and be able to do as much as I can and, you know, and be able to, because, you know, I'm getting married in September and we do want to start a family. So I want to be able to make sure that I get myself in a better position career-wise that, you know, hopefully soon that can be full-time and I'm doing fine. So, and I can support my family. So in terms of really getting more involved now, my cousin, who's an actor, Michael Harney, he's done everything and he's been around the block for a long time. He's been in a lot of successful projects. He's kind of mentored me through all of this. He's very old school in the sense of, you know, you cut your own path, nothing's handed to you. And he made it very clear to me that he's like, you know, don't wait on the business because it'll leave you hanging every time. He said, go out, create your own stuff, make your own stuff, get it in front of as many faces as you can, you know, and then one day something will stick, you know? I mean, everybody's got, another thing as he said is everybody will get their chance, you know, they'll get their chance to land something big. The biggest thing is, will you be prepared for it? So yeah, so that's kind of what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to prepare myself as best I can for, you know, for things. And also just trying to make my own stuff and get involved with as much as I can in terms of as much of the process as I can for films.
When you said to break out and, oh, he like people say all the time, oh, he made it or whatever, you know, and obviously you want a long career. you know, I've thought about like make it, you know, oh, like they made it. And I was like thinking about it and I was like, well, yeah, they made it. They didn't like go into this. Is it this door? I'm there. Yeah. Oh, and then women and booze and drugs and back down. And, you know, put them on the plane, you know, and all of a sudden, no. They're like, you know, building and like, putting stuff in. Like, they made it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it can happen to anybody at any age, depending on how, you know, I mean, obviously, yeah, people are like, you're a high-skilled person, we'll just grab somebody. But that's kind of like a person that's unexperienced just throws them into the mix and becomes famous overnight. It's kind of like putting flying a helicopter and landing a person on the top of a mountain and saying they climbed the mountain, and they don't even have a grip of what it feels like. And then the guy that climbed the mountain is like, oh, I did it, and it might have taken him longer. But he's like, oh, well, let me tell you how to do this. It goes, you got to watch out for the bears on the fourth level. And the pine needles are pretty sharp down there. So go around that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have someone that knows that stuff. And I hear you, man. Like, you, it seems like you love it so much that you want to have, like, you want to do everything that involves an actor.
Yeah.
But, like, also, you know, it's not our time. You know, it's not our time. It's whatever, like, it is when you make it. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? You could make it in 5 or 10 years or whatever it's right to do, but you're going to keep doing it forever. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not going to stop you ever. And you know what I mean? I'd say this all the time. My dad taught me, when he told me, he was like, when are you going to stop playing guitar? When I was a kid, and I was like, probably when I'm 110, you know, I might start to slow down then. My hands, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, it's time doesn't...
Well, and it's one of those things too, where, you know, I think everybody has a different definition of making it. Like you were saying, for me, making it is when I'm able to support my family on what I make acting and producing. That's when, to me, I've made it. And everything else after that is just kind of the cherry on top. I would be lying if I was to sit here and say, I don't want to be one of the best to ever do it. You know, of course I do. I want to be, of course I want to be one of the guys that, you know, I'm one of the most sought out actors in the business. Of course I do. You know, I think anybody would be selling themselves short if they said they didn't want to be that. But at the same time, I don't want to obsess over it either, because, you know, over being the king of the hill, if you will, because, you know, everything, kind of like you were saying, everything is going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. And, you know, if it comes to it that I'm able to do what I want to do, and I'm able to choose the projects that I want to choose, and I'm supporting my family while doing it, then I'm good. You know, I don't need to be in the spotlight. I don't need to be the next Robert De Niro. I would like to be, skill-wise, you know, that, I mean, I'm always going to be a student, but, you know, I just want to do what I love, and I want to, because not many people are able to say that they can do that, and that they do what they love. You know, a lot of people, I feel like, have to settle because of certain things that happen in their lives, and that's fine. I've just never been wired to do that, you know?
Right? Dude, I say this all the time, man. I wish I could. Do you think I like pursuing my dreams every day and doing? I wish I could just go, oh, yeah, I work a job 9 to 5 every day. I wish I could give up on all these dreams and living out the treasures of my heart and just go sit down and work forever and then die. But some people love that. That's great. Like, we need that. Okay, cool.
I would want to jump off a roof. It would be like, and that's the thing, is I have so much respect for people that can do that, because I know mentally I can't. I'm not wired to be able to do it. I can do it for a little while, but ultimately something's got to change. And that's, I think, what I like about acting, is everything's different every day. You know, something's different every single day. The schedule's never the same. And, you know, that's what I like about it, is, you know, the mix of everything.
So how'd you get into writing then? So you said you're writing a script now, or you're in the process of making them? Is the script written already?
So I'm actually writing a comedy series. So out of the, from the first season, I've got 3 episodes written of 8. And that's been a really, really fun process, because I've always wanted to do comedy. It's just kind of come out that, you know, the majority of the projects that I've done so far haven't really been comedies. There have been more serious, you know, thrillers and that kind of stuff. But comedy, I mean, I grew up watching Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin on the Colgate Comedy Hour. I was watching Jerry Lewis films, Laurel and Hardy. You know, my dad was showing me a lot of the original, you know, comics, and, you know, watching like Eddie Murphy movies, and watching his stand up once I got older. And and yeah, and so I love comedy. I would not sit here and call myself a comedian. I'm not that funny. But I do have some comedic instincts for certain scenes. And so yeah, I've been working on that series. And I'll tell you what, I even had talked about it with my cousin, and he had said, he goes, I've never heard of anything like this. So it sounds like a great concept. So keep pushing with it, keep moving forward with it. So, and get it done. So who knows, maybe I'll be able to sell that, and you know, then I will have made it, you know what I mean? So we'll see.
Can you tell us anything about it?
I can say that the feeling of it is kind of a mix between, in terms of the way that the characters relate with each other and everything, it's kind of a mix between like The Office, that Superstore show.
Okay.
It's kind of like that kind of feel. It's a lot of it is situational comedy. And I'm really excited about it. But that's kind of all I can say about it.
Okay. Right. All right. What can you tell us about some of the other projects that you've been in?
Yeah, so like I had mentioned earlier, Locker 42, right now, you know, we're in the middle of creating, you know, our pitch for it, and, you know, we're trying to find investors for it. But so it's a thriller. It's like a crime thriller, a crime drama. And it's about these bodies that were found in a storage locker unit. And it's eerily similar to, like, the MO is the exact same of a crime that had happened in the same storage unit back in the 90s. And so so there's this detective gets called in to help and assist on the case and basically lead the case. And my character, I play a rookie cop who gets assigned by my father, who's the chief of our department, to basically assist this detective on this case. And the detective wants nothing to do with me. He thinks I'm only there just because my daddy wants, you know, he wants to keep his eye on me, kind of thing. So there's a lot of action in it, and there's a lot of twists and turns in the case that that nobody really sees coming. Even everybody that's read the script has said, I couldn't tell you what was going to happen next. I thought I knew, something completely different that I didn't even think could happen. So so yeah, it's a really, really good concept, and I'm excited. We still have a ways to go until we can shoot, because this whole thing's really put a you know, it's kind of threw a wrench into the process of the whole pre-production process for us. But we're chugging along, and I think if we can, I think, you know, if we can get the budget and the financing that we're looking for, then it'll be, this movie will be sweet, man. It'll be really, really good. And what's cool is it bounces back between the 90s and the present day. You know, there's a nice ebb and flow of the story in that sense. So yeah, it's cool.
Do you feel that, like, because you said you were into being an investigator and you wanted to, I guess you have that inquisitive mind of piecing stuff together. You know what I mean? Like, I worked in cleaning, in fabric cleaning for a while. And like, I would look over them and be like, oh, well, there's the coffee spill there. And that's the table that they tripped over. And I was like, oh, of course. Well, and there was like, that's the action lines of all their feet walking, and or blood. I'm like, well, there's the cat. It bled on that. And then it probably went over to the windowsill where it loves to sit so much. And you start to like put things together. Do you find like when you would be a good actor, or that's like roles that you like because of naturally liking that in real life? Like, do you feel like that kind of character, that like inquisitive person, psychological thriller, putting stuff together character, do you find that you play a good character in that because that already is exuded inside of your heart?
Yeah, I think so. I think also because I've always been a very detail-oriented person anyway. You know, whenever I walk into a room, I mean, I notice things that people don't even necessarily know were even there. And by the time they leave, didn't even know was there, just because I've always been pretty aware of my surroundings anyway. And so I think that kind of leads to it. Plus, my family, all the guys in my family have always had kind of cop looks anyway. You know, right now I may look like I just walked off a mountain just because I've been lazy. But we typically do have kind of that cop kind of look. I also want to play a soldier too. I think, you know, I've got a long history of veterans in my family. So I think it'd be awesome to play a soldier too, which would kind of be along the same lines somewhat. Not as a detective necessarily, but like law enforcement or whatever. But yeah, I mean to go to your point, I think it definitely helps. And it helps me prepare for the character too, just because my mindset's already there all the time anyway. So yeah, I typically have an easier time getting into those kind of characters than I do, you know, a philosophical hippie stoner or whatever, you know.
That's Casey.
Be a good role for me.
Yeah.
There you go.
If any movie out there needs a large behemoth type man, wrestler, drugs, alcohol, booze, you know, bathrooms with, you know.
So Patrick, can anyone find any of do you have any movies or anything available that people can find now?
Yeah, there's actually some short films on YouTube right now that there's one, it's called DPD Echo One that you can see me in, and I play a cop in that. And then you can also see me in this short film called Still, and it's that's like a psychological thriller. And I've also produced on a couple that are out on YouTube called Goodnight You and Ever After. But yeah, I mean, there's right now I've got a lot of things that are kind of in the bank that are just, you know, being finished up. Like I've got a movie that I've got a small part in called The Denny Dooley Story that's going to be coming out. I talked to the director actually the other day, and he said he's still trying to get it out by the end of the year. And that I play like a hippie garage rocker. And then I've got a series that's actually going to be on Amazon Prime that we had to stop production after finishing episode one. So I don't know when we're going to pick back up, but because we got 8 episodes for the first season, so we got to get rolling. So that'll be out as well, and I'm playing a vampire in that. But it's not like your twinkle in the sunlight kind of vampire. It's like a bloody, dark, gritty kind of show. So
nice.
So yeah, it's I've got some stuff that are coming down the pike. Just, you know, this whole thing's gotta end.
So it sounds like you'll be pretty busy after this is all over.
Very busy. Yeah, which I'm looking forward to, man. I'm ready to get my butt in gear and get back to it. You know, I don't do well if I sit too long. So
once this is over, I mean, I think it's a part of me thinks it's going to get worse before it gets better. I hope not. I hope it gets amazing immediately, where people are just like, you know what? And then we just run out of our homes and everyone just starts banging on the streets or whatever they want to do. I don't know. And like making money somehow. But like, before we wrap things up here, I'd like to just offer, if you could give our wonderful, beautiful, a lot of beautiful, listeners and viewers, something to leave with them to take home for the day, a good word of advice to any people pursuing acting, or something that's been weighing on your heart that you wanted to spread to people.
Yeah,
you got anything for us?
Yeah, I think kind of going to the point that you had brought up earlier, in terms of like the whole silver lining thing. You know, no matter what situation you're in, and no matter how bleak things may seem and look, if you look hard enough, there is always a silver lining in everything. You know, and it's those kind of things that I think it's important to grasp to. You know, not in instead of just kind of sitting in self-pity, you know, just feeling like something's never going to end, you know, there's always ways to be productive. There's always ways to move yourself forward, even if it doesn't mean physically, you know. And also, you know, just I think there needs to be some more, and this may sound too good to be true, it seems like, but I think there needs to be more care for each other. And I think there needs to be more, you know, more kindness and love spread, instead of, you know, just because somebody has a differing view than you do, who cares? You know, that's what's great about this place is, you know, people can have different opinions. People can have, you know, feel differently about certain things, and that's fine. You know, I see so much, especially right now, I see so much like on Facebook, and mainly Facebook, you know, just like screaming at people on the keyboard and ruining friendships over something that is so small, you know, over one phrase or that somebody may say. It's just like, get over it, man. You know, just, I don't know. I just think kindness and love and caring needs to be the center of people's attention, not, you know, oh, this person thinks this way, so, you know, they're awful and they're a moron. Like, that's not going to get anywhere.
Exactly. Like, I was thinking about that. We had a guest on, Rick Soda Beer, right?
Yeah, Soda Beer, yeah.
And we're talking about love languages, right? So, I mean, I see it. I just reactivated my, or I had to start a new Facebook account because I got hacked and destroyed by, so I don't know who, but I see, Russians. You know, obviously politics, people are, yeah, it's just like vultures. And I don't like to say people sometimes. I like to just take the person who said it, like who did it, what do they mean? You know what I mean? And I almost feel like politics is like a love language. It's kind of like dating someone that has the opposite, like it's like, if I would be a time and touch guy, I love you giving you time and touch, but I'm dating a gift and what else is there? Gift and words of affirmation. And they're going to be like, you don't even love me because you couldn't buy this Arby's, the 2-for-1 deal because you were, or something. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. I only had, you know, $20, but, or I don't know. Like, it's like dating someone that loves differently than you do. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't blame them for thinking the completely opposite of you, but that's the way that they are. That's the way they love, right?
Yeah.
So if you're just like, oh, okay, well, you love that way, I love this way. I'm going to go touch and feel this person over here all day long and anything I want, probably lower body part. But like, I'm going to grab stuff that are big because I like them. And then you, when the other person, and then you can go get roses and chocolates and stuff.
Yeah, man.
Like, that's the beauty of being here. I was thinking of that just reading Facebook today.
Well, and also, you know, what I think is, and this may sound super old school to me, but like, since when is it anybody's business what other people believe in? You know, like unless I'm going to personally put it out there for consumption, then I don't think it's anybody's business. I mean, you know, it used to be taboo to, you know, talk about that kind of stuff. And right. I don't know. I never feel like political talks ever get anywhere good nowadays. You know, there's never, it's very hard to find somebody that you can sit down and have a civil conversation with about politics without setting something, you know, without setting something off. So that's why I just don't do it. You know, I just think, no matter what, at this point, it feels like no matter what side you're on or no matter what you believe, it's wrong. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To somebody, it's wrong. And so I just like to talk about music. I like to talk about films. I like to talk about, you know, happy stuff. Post some puppies out there or something. I don't care, you know, like anything.
Yeah, but were the directors in your movie films, were they staunch right-wing truck driving Republicans, or were they trendy purple sock wearing liberals? Which one? Was that? That's what I think. I don't know. I'm putting I'm projecting right now to the future. I'm being a futurist right now. I think the way we're going to judge music isn't if we like it or not in the future. It's going to be like, oh, I'll listen to some. I'll be like, okay, but is he Republican or is he a Democrat? Is this song Republican or Democrat?
Dude, and it's already that way, man.
You know what I mean? Oh, it's libertarian. Oh, it is. So it's, or it's, or it's independent. Well, whatever. It's meaningless. Oh, this is a Democrat song? Oh, yeah. Or, oh, this is a big Republican. Oh, okay. That's what music's going to be like in the future. Like, yeah. People are going to be like, oh, boy, you listen to them? So you're a sexist, racist, Islamist. You're like, and all
yeah,
this
dude. Yeah, I hope not, man. I hope and pray that it's not like that because, you know, to me, when it comes to artists, you got to be able to separate the art from the person, you know? Right. Take a perfect example, Kanye West. He's a very controversial character, you know? That man says a lot of things that are, you know, against the norm. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, his music is trash because of this, that, and the other thing. I'm going to sit here and say, oh, no, I actually like some of his music. If some of his music is garbage, in my opinion, then I think it's garbage because of this, that, and the other thing. But musically, it has nothing to do with him as a person.
For sure.
And I think it's the same thing, too, with, like, actors, you know? I may not agree with something that somebody says, but that doesn't mean I don't think they're a good actor, or that doesn't mean I won't watch their movies, unless they were to personally say something to me that was, you know, against, or that was aimed toward me and attacking me, then maybe. But at the same time,
right.
Like, I like good movies, I like good performances, and that's what I focus on, and that's what I try to apply that with my whole, you know, with my whole life. So
it's kind of like this podcast. Like, Jimbo is Jimbo and I'm me, complete opposites.
Where are you guys at right now?
Pennsylvania.
Both of you are? Nice.
Yep. Yeah.
Uh-oh, the guns are coming out, bro. Guns are coming out, man. You're inside.
All right. All right, boys. We're doing it.
Oh, man.
Well, Patrick, this has been fun, man. We appreciate it. Tell everyone where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I appreciate you guys having me. This was a good talk. You can find me on Instagram at pharns194. Same with Twitter. That's pharns194. You can also find me on Facebook at Official P. Harney. Find me on IMDb. Check out everything I'm doing. Check out the latest on all my projects. And
awesome. And mention those YouTube movies one more time.
Oh, yeah. So I've got one. I've got a short film on there called DPD Echo One. I've got one that's called Still by Vigilant Entertainment. Also, there's a couple that I produced that is Ever After, Good Night You. And then also the trailer for Scapegoat is on there. It's pretty dope, in my opinion.
Okay.
But maybe I'm just biased. And so, yeah, man, we got some good stuff coming.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks again for doing this, man.
Thank you very much, fellas. It was a pleasure.
Yes. Good chatting with you.